From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
This water crisis brought such a steady stream of big names to Flint. We had Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, certainly officials from Lansing, from the EPA. But they flew in and out of Flint. They were not living day in and day out with water that was poison. We want to talk about what that has been like with two different outcomes. One family stayed and one family made the tough choice to leave Flint. Laura McIntyre and her family are here, despite damage to their home and appliances and worries about their health. And Cameron Banks' parents saw changes in their kids' health, and when the door opened for her dad to attend grad school in Ann Arbor, they decided to head south on US 23 and make a new home in Ann Arbor. Cameron Banks and Laura McIntyre, welcome to Stateside. Great to have you both with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Laura, I know we have talked to you on Stateside in the past about the water bills you were paying, and then the last time that we talked earlier this year, you had decided to withhold payment. Where are things today with that?
Yeah, we are still withholding payment. Our bills are approximately $200 a month for water that we really can't use. And right now we are on the shutoff list, and we're getting increasingly aggressive and outright abusive letters from the city in terms of you know, trying to cajole us into paying for water.
And I know you kind of, I want you to kind of recap for us. When we talked before, you kind of spelled out the effects that that water has had just in your home and on your family.
For my home, my home is pretty much destroyed. We have the pipes have disintegrated in the walls. The water streams down the walls. It's pretty much a wash. I do live in Mott Park, and it's an older home. At this point, it would take more to replace the pipes and put in a filtration system than the home is actually worth. We're just going to have to walk away from it at this point. Plus, anything that the water has touched, any appliances, we're on our third or fourth washing machine. It's just disgusting.
Cameron, how'd you feel about your family deciding to leave Flint and move to Ann Arbor?
Well, I believe that it was the best choice for our family. Especially considering our health. My sisters and I were tested and had very high levels of lead in our bodies and in our hair, which is a sign of a long-term effect. And so it was definitely the right move for our family. Emotionally, it's been very difficult, but I wouldn't do anything differently if I had the chance.
Tell me, how has it been living in Ann Arbor and settling into Ann Arbor?
It has been such a pleasure. It's been a break. Everything is very clean. Everyone is very pleasant. There's just a very general vibe of health and happiness that you don't get to experience in Flint. And it's a luxury, really. It's so nice that when we come back, we almost feel down. Like, you know, wow, this is how we used to live all the time. You know, living in Ann Arbor, we don't have to worry about simple, basic rights like water. There's not always the urge to keep your guard up and feel like, you know, someone's trying to come after you or someone's trying to do something to you or harm you, which is very, very fatiguing. People in Genesee County have, like, the highest blood pressure levels. It's, like, ridiculous because they're just so stressed out.
I'm wondering what it was like to have this thing that you were living through being written about and talked about and shown to the world, and there you were right in the middle of that. What was that like for you, Laura?
Well, it was validating at first because it had taken so long to get the public aware of the extent of the atrocities that were being committed by our government. Feel vindicated that, you know, there's been attention, that I'm glad you came back because, you know, it's 3 years, 4 years that we've been living on bottled water. You know, it still has not been addressed. The pipes have not been replaced. The situation is not fixed and the water is getting worse.
What about you, Cameron? This was quite an education for you in watching news covering something that you knew very well.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I agree that it was very validating, but it was also kind of made me feel like a fish in a glass bowl because everyone wanted to know, you know, what do you think about the water? And I think at some point it kind of seemed like I was more of a spokesperson for the situation than I was a person that was actually living and breathing and bathing in and, you know, washing my clothes in with this water. which was, you know, very tiring. Still to this day, when people hear that I'm from Flint, the first question they ask is, you know, how's the water? And it's like, poison.
And yet we aren't seeing Flint on the national news or the international news as much. And we hear declarations from the EPA that things are going within standards, quote unquote. And people might think, well, things are getting back to normal in Flint. And what do you say when you hear that?
I get pretty enraged because it's not true. And I think that people forget that the news only covers what's hot. And so they've already done all their crying and pleading about Flint. They're done with the situation until something bigger and better happens. And that's it for them. But there's still people living here. There's still people, you know, using 6 bottles of water to cook a pot of pasta. And it's enraging that people could, you know, dismiss that just because that's what the media is telling them. You would think that maybe there'd be a bit more humanity there.
How has this changed, or has this changed, the way you think about Flint?
It really has changed the way I think about Flint. When I think about, you know, my childhood and coming up, Flint is my home. And it's, you know, all I really know, all I'm really familiar with. But now, living in Ann Arbor, when I think about Flint, it's more like something I escaped. I kind of feel like a refugee, which I think is a very powerful thing to say, considering that, you know, there's still people here and it's not considered dangerous to anyone else, which is, you know, ridiculous. And I think that in my mind, I don't feel like there's much left for Flint. I feel like, you know, the people on the upper levels have really kind of left the people here just to their own devices. I mean, I don't want to say to die, but that's what's happening. And it's really heartbreaking because you don't want to think of your home as some place that can't be repaired, especially a place where you know that your grandparents and your friends and your teachers, all your loved ones still live as, like, you know, some wasteland. But that's what it seems like Flint is turning into.
And it's not that it can't be repaired. It absolutely can be repaired. It's not being repaired. And that's what's so frustrating is that there's just an absolute lack of humanity. Water is a human right. We're being told that water is not a human right. We're having our Great Lakes sold to Nestle for $200. It's right now the contract is up. They want to take out more of our Great Lakes water, and we're just giving it to them. You know, it's just infuriating. It's very, very frustrating.
What's the one thing we're talking to so much of the state when you're here on Stateside? What's the most important thing that you want people elsewhere in Michigan to understand about the people who are here in Flint, about the people of Flint?
I would say that the people in Flint are resilient. You know, this isn't the first catastrophe our city has had, but you still see smiles. You still see, you know, kids having fun. You still see the programs that happen at schools and that happen downtown to try to attract people. People in Flint aren't going to be, you know, shut out so easily. The people are going to have to do a lot more than just ignore us to get people to be quiet. Because I know that no one's going to, you know, sit here and roll over while there's poison still coming from the tap. So I think that's the most important thing that people need to know about Flint.
And what about its people, Laura?
I would reiterate what she said. I think that we are strong, we are resilient, but we're fed up at this point. I mean, it's been 3-4 years. We demand an end to the emergency manager system. We demand that we be made whole again. We demand that we have medical coverage to take care of what's been done to us, to the poison, to the stress that's been done to us. We demand that it happen now. We're done waiting.
Cameron Banks, Laura McIntyre, thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.